We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the Esports Biz Show. I'm your host, Justin Jacobson. This week we'll be discussing esports event organizers. Just a disclaimer, nothing here is intended as legal advice, as all the information is for educational purposes only. This week's guest is Dennis Buchanan. Dennis is the founder of Long Island Gaming League and the author of The Esports Millionaire Mindset, Building a Successful Tournament Organizer Business. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It is a pleasure to be on your show. I have seen it a couple times, so the opportunity to be here is, it feels great to be here. So thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. You know, as a fellow Long Islander, it was always nice to have a fellow Long Island gamer on here. So, you know, kind of introduce yourself. Tell us about your past gaming experience and what was the first game you played?
Absolutely. So my past gaming experience, it kind of goes way back with me and my brother. We used to play on the PC Madden back in the day. He would have the number side of the keyboard, and I would have the up, down, left, right side of the keyboard. So I've been playing video games for a really long time. You know, even from Sega Genesis to Xbox, when it was a black square with a green dot on it, you could like jump on it and it would never break. So I've been gaming for a really long time. Currently, I guess the games that I like to play now is Apex Legends. I'm a big fan of that, and Call of Duty. Since they got rid of that space age stuff and they brought back the origin, I got into Call of Duty again. So I'm like a first-person shooter type of player all day.
Awesome. So how'd you kind of transition to the, you know, the business side of the industry?
I would say somewhat of a funny story. So I was never really too much into sports. Traditionally, I would just kind of watch it. A good friend of mine, Mitchell Backus, we would always talk about sports, and he's like really into it. So one time around March Madness, we were doing like a fantasy league, and I was just picking teams based off of what he called friends and family. So if I knew somebody in that state, I'd pick that team. And if I had a friend over here, I'd pick that team.
Or if I like their logo, right? It's their colors.
So I did that. So he was just like, you know, so we had a really good time. And he's like, oh, well, you should start a league. And I was like, man, I don't know anything about no sports league. Like, why would I start a league? So fast forward, we started working at NYIT, working with the kids, doing what we called How to Create a Podcast. And in that forum of working with the kids, esports started to really pick up and it started to get more popular because that's all the kids were talking about. So as I was hearing them talking about it, and I'm just like, man, that's really interesting. So I go, Mitch, I got an idea. He was like, what? I'm going to create a league. So clearly to him, he started laughing like, well, come on, man, you're the friends and family. What are you talking about? You're going to start a league. And I was like, no, I'm going to start an esports league. And he was like, really? I was just like, yeah. I said, but however, I really want to teach the kids about the game. And, you know, from the inception of 2019 is when we actually had got started with teaching. That's kind of how it really all came about, because we were just observing how much the younger generation was into esports, but yet they really had no idea of the opportunity that was coming their way. And that's kind of how I got into it.
So kind of, why'd you kind of start? Was it just a passion for it, or you really just thought this was like, you know, a great growth avenue?
I had a passion for helping because it stemmed from when we were doing How to create a Podcast. It was really getting the students to open up and talk about things they cared about. So I just looked at esports and I understood that this industry is growing, and yet they had nothing. They had no clue the opportunities I had from. So I looked at it as, well, I know a little bit about a couple of things, especially when it comes to business, But if I can pass that knowledge on to the younger generation, they can really capitalize on it if somebody's talking to them about more than just competing in a tournament or winning prize pool money. So it was the passion of really helping the youth that got me into the whole esports world. It just so happened to be sports in a league, but it was really about helping them.
So tell us a little about the league. What are some of the past events, prize pools, you know, the games people compete in?
Yeah. So a little about the league. What we've done, we've ran what we call Dojo Rivals, and it was part of our bar takeover experience. Our bar takeover is generally where we'll go to like kind of local bars. We'll set up video game systems and we'll invite the gaming community to come out. Instead of going to like a LAN center, we'll invite them to come out. And we ran a 12-week tournament for Tekken. And that tournament, we gave away this huge trophy. The gentleman who won it, some people may be familiar with him. His name is Spiro Jin. He plays with Eddie, the character. So he's really known in the fighting game community. And he used to come out to our event. So we had a really great experience with hosting that event. And we are going to be doing Dojo Rivals Season 2 this year. But that's kind of like one of the tournaments that we did. We've done a FIFA tournament with a soccer club out in Queens. Maybe sometime last year we did something with them. We were on the soccer terrain and had the video game set up. So we like to create what we call unique gaming experiences to where you're having fun gaming, but it's not in your general environment to where you're used to gaming. So it's not at home and it's not in a LAN center. It's kind of more community-based in a friendly environment. So those are kind of the tournaments that we tend to throw or have thrown in the past.
So it's not like a big arena or a studio where it's just focused on the competition. There's, you know, the other elements of this experiential nature.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because at the end of the day, it's entertainment. You know, it's a way for us to entertain ourselves. So we just wanted to do that in a way where people who are gamers could be entertained and those who are not familiar with the gaming world could be exposed to it. And when they see the excitement we're having playing video games, it helps the industry grow overall.
Amazing. I think that's a great idea and it seems to be going great.
Yeah.
Tell us kind of what are the eligibility rules? Like how do you join? You know, how does that all work?
So there's two aspects. As far as eligibility, when it comes into the schools, clearly if you're part of one of our school programs, you're eligible to compete or play in any type of league play or event that we have that's age appropriate. Those things would be what we call the esports library, where we go to local community libraries. We invite the community to come out to play video games. And at the same time, we educate parents. So that's what we do for the age appropriate. And then if you're a little bit older and you kind of miss that boat, we do the bar takeovers. And in 21 of age would be ideal to attend one of those events and participate in one of those tournaments.
Okay, so it's kind of more these casual rec leagues. It's not like me and my five guys come in with my League of Legends team or FIFA and we play every week.
No. We're not a competitive type organization. We're more casual. I tend to be a casual gamer. A lot of my guys that work with me are casual gamers. And it makes it more fun and enjoyable from our perspective to do that. But we very much respect the competitive scene. Those who are really into it, but we're just kind of cut out for like, hey, let's have a good time and play some games.
So there's no pro gamers and teams coming through and just kind of taking over, right? It's more like me and you that want to play Tekken. We're both pretty good, but you know, I've obviously worked with pros, and you've probably seen pros like they're on another level at the game of, you know, like games in general. But if the game of their choice, like, you know, there's a reason it's a profession, right?
Exactly. It's definitely for guys like me and you, or for those who may be watching who, you know, oh, I'm not a gamer, but maybe they play Candy Crush or they play some type of game, you know, as a R&R. So we're kind of geared and more focused in that arena in terms of gameplay to where you don't have to be the best gamer to participate. It's all about fun.
Amazing. So how does it kind of work with the licensing process with game developers and publishers? Do you kind of engage with them or those that want to, you know, work with you? You know, tell us about that.
So we have spoken to, I believe it's Riot Games. We spoke with them in terms of our educational aspect. I believe they have a Scholastic arm to what they do. So we spoke with them in terms of getting licenses for some of the colleges that we work with to play their League of Legends. The other publishers, we haven't really reached out to them because our events are all free. So we don't charge any entry fees for anybody to attend or compete in any of our tournaments. So they're, again, it's casual. So we haven't really reached out to them because we're not requesting or giving away any large amounts of money or prize pools.
Interesting. So what kind of brands are you guys working with, or have you worked with the league?
So we work with the Nets Gaming Crew, the Brooklyn Nets Esports organization. We have worked
shout out with, to OG Kurt, our man.
OG's an OG, man. He's definitely a good friend of mine. Every time he comes back up here, it's always great to see him. So we have worked with him. Outside of esports, we'd worked with ESL in regards to when they did their big event at the Coliseum in the city. They had donated 20 tickets to us that we were able to give out to the community. So for those who've never experienced the ESL, I think it was CSGO. So that was cool. So we had the opportunity to work with them. They were great to work with. We've worked with Monster. We've worked with some nonprofits. We worked with the Breast Cancer Society. We worked with Multiple Sclerosis organization. The organization, who else? I'm trying to think of, you know, in our frame of the 5 years we've kind of been in existence, we've worked with a lot of big brand names and big organizations in terms of partnering with them, bringing exposure to the community, and, you know, trying to really give back to the community.
Amazing. Well, you know, definitely sounds great. And, you know, I know that the communities that we serve are necessary. And this is a cue, like you said, this is what the youth are talking about. This is what they're interested in. This is what resonates with them. So it's like, if you can go there and bring them something they like, and then, like you said, sprinkle in the education, teach them some things, open their eyes a little bit, be like, oh, whoa, I didn't know that. Or, whoa, this is like a job. People make money making video games and, you know, designing characters and storylines. And, you know, it opens people's eyes and minds. And I think that's, you know, a huge thing. And why I think gaming is so universal is because it is so universal, is that it has so many unique things in it that people don't think about. They might not stick out to you at first. And, you know, to be able to bring that knowledge and to open those doors to the next generation who maybe aren't necessarily exposed to some of this stuff, you know, I think is amazing.
Yeah, that's part of why we love what we do. And again, you had asked that question, what kind of got me into it? It's that passion of, wow, I had no idea. You know, whether it be parents that we've spoken with, or, you know, young students that we've dealt with, or even individuals who came into our league that we were able to get the job placement. So it's really done for the community. And that's kind of what we prided ourselves on, realizing that gaming at its core is community based. You play games in the community, and outside of that is the community. So we really focus on community. So everything we do, it's community driven. And we do it for the community.
Amazing. Well, I think that's the way that this stuff is most successful, is when you're doing it to make money or just for profit, and you forget about who you're serving and why you're serving and what you're doing. Businesses don't usually work, right? The best ones are ones that just kind of work because they work, and you figure out the rest as you go.
Absolutely. Definitely well said.
Well, let's kind of shift a little bit. So you wrote a book, the Esports Millionaire Mindset. So why did you write it? And, you know, tell us a little about what some information a reader might get from it.
Right. So if I'm able to show it.
Yes, show it.
Thank you. So, you know, the reason why I had wrote it is it goes back to when the Long Island Gaming League was originally started. It came from education. And being in the industry, I was just like, well, we're able to, within the schools, we're able to teach, right? We're able to educate them on the different things. But we're not in every school. We're not all over the place. So there was a gap between, well, how can we reach some of the individuals who are not necessarily within our school district or who are not, you know, working directly with us? So I was like, okay, well, this is what we've been doing. This is what I've done. This is what I have knowledge on. And if it's something that I can share to help somebody who's interested in getting into esports, whether they are a pro gamer, whether they don't game at all, or whether they're just a business owner or a wannabe entrepreneur, I created a step-by-step guide that really breaks down how to get started. It's not super intensive. It's not something that, you know, is going to take long to read. It's like a 53-page read, but it's to the point.
It's not like my book, the 300-page read.
Yeah, yeah. It's, listen, look, it's a super thin read, but it was done with that because we don't want, or I don't necessarily want anybody to be afraid to pick up this book and think it's going to be overwhelming. But I did want it to be very practical, to the point that has a step-by-step guide. So when you go through the first chapter, there's an action for you to go to the next, to go to the next. And then before you know it, you're started. And then the bonus is, once you've actually done it, if you reach out to us, we'll help you along the way with anything or any bumps you might have tried to go through while trying to start your organization.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that kind of is the perfect segue. So what kind of advice do you have for anyone that's trying to organize their own esports events? You know, what's something you wish you kind of knew early on and, you know, you can impart wisdom on our listeners?
Oh, man. One thing I wish I knew early on trying to start, you know, with leagues was, one, figuring out how to run brackets. Yeah, you get a laugh out of that one. Yeah, so that was definitely something that I wanted to learn or wish I would have known early on, because it stemmed from the past. Like, oh, this is fun. Let's have a little tournament. And then I was just like trying to use challenge and all these other different sites, and I had no clue how to do it. Hence, I have learned. But I would just say, if somebody's really looking to get into the tournament organizing business, is I would say first try to figure out what your passion is, in terms of, it doesn't have to be a huge tournament. It could be as simple as, if you're going to play with your friend and you guys are consistently play, let's say for the next 12 weeks, get into that consistency. Learn how to be consistent in what you're doing, and then that'll really help you as you continue to go down the tournament path and keeping track of everything. The other thing I would say is, you don't have to have a tournament like everybody else. It doesn't have to be a tournament in the more common games that you would think of. It could be a tournament in a role-playing game, right? And an example of that could be, okay, how fast can you get through this stage? And now whoever gets to the stage the fastest, that's kind of how you can structure the tournament. So I would just say, again, think about what it is that you actually have a real interest in or you like to play, and then you can kind of build a tournament around that. And you might get exposure, because if you like it, the chances are there's somebody else there who might like it, and you can build on that.
Amazing. I think that's great advice, that, you know, it's like something you're passionate about makes it a lot easier to kind of go in on it. If it's like, oh, yeah, I don't like this game, or this isn't something I'm interested in, it makes it a little bit tougher.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have the learning curve of the game, it really makes it hard. But if you don't, then it's something that you can do, because you're already going to know other people who play that game. And it makes it easier. You just got to organize.
So what advice do you have for anyone that's looking to kind of work in the esports and video game business?
Oh, man. Advice. I would say, if you come across somebody, whether it's a streamer or it's a friend of yours, ask questions. You know, if you don't realize something, or you're not familiar with it, it doesn't hurt to ask. You know, don't assume. Ask them, you know, ask for help. Reach out to people. 9 times out of 10, when you ask somebody for help, they generally want to help you. So I would say, ask around, try to get as much information as you possibly can, and try to build good relationships with your friends. You know, that would really be, you know, really be my advice, because I think sometimes people don't often, not necessarily share their passion, but I think that it tends to be one-sided, right? And they don't expand the opportunities to really look at it. So I would just say, my advice would be, look at the industry as a big picture, and then just see where you might be able to fit in.
Right. It's like, know what you know and know what you don't, know your strengths, and, you know, go to them. And it's like,
absolutely.
If you don't know something, or something that, like you said, not interested in or passionate about, like, that's probably not going to be something you're gonna be that successful in anyway.
It comes 100% from passion. You know, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to push through them. Because everybody makes mistakes. I just told you, I started trying to run tournaments and didn't know how to do brackets, right? But, you know, from there, look at where I've been successful in doing events and doing multiple events. So, you know, I would say, don't be discouraged by the mistakes you make because you lack the knowledge. But after you made those mistakes, learn from it or ask somebody so you don't make those same mistakes again.
Absolutely. So what's your favorite part about working in the esports and gaming industry?
I would say my favorite part about it is that it's evolving, it's growing, and being a part of something that's growing so rapidly, it has a bit of excitement to it. And, you know, enjoying the ride, the people that I get to meet, and the irony of the perception of a gamer at the end of the day, we're all gamers. You know, gamers are, you know, lawyers, doctors, you know, chefs. There is no real face of what the gamer looks like. That, to me, I think is a beautiful thing. And I enjoy that part of it. It just keeps me going. It's exciting.
Well, shout out to those lawyer gamers out there. We know we don't get the game as much as we hope, but, you know, my phone has some interesting games, so definitely gives me that, you know, burst I need. What's kind of the future for the Long Island Gaming Week? What is some of the stuff on the horizon? Where are you kind of trying to take it?
So the future for the Long Island Gaming League is to continue to support and expand on Long Island as much as we can to really give opportunities, job opportunities for anybody looking for different jobs that either we may have in-house or able to, you know, get them externally through our relationships with different organizations. We really want to be the support system for the Long Island gaming community, both competitive and casually. And whichever way we are able to go about doing that, through relationships, opportunities to talk about who we are, what we do, is what we're going to continue to do.
Amazing. Definitely happy to see that. Long Island needs to grow. New York overall needs to grow. But, you know, like I said, coming from Strong Island, we're always excited to see people that are kind of taking on its back and help it grow. So I like to try to end each episode with my three questions. So what's your favorite game to watch?
Oh, my favorite game to watch has just become, ironically, Baldur's Gate 3.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's very interesting with the choices and the options and, you know, what they may choose. I think that's really cool.
What's your favorite game to play?
It's a toss-up between Apex and Call of Duty, but I'm going to go with Call of Duty right now.
Okay, and who's your favorite video game character?
I've actually never been asked that question.
Right.
My favorite video game character, I would say Snake from Metal Gear.
Okay, awesome. Well, you know, this was amazing. Thank you so much for joining us. Tell everybody where they can connect with you and learn about what you guys are working on at the league and everything.
Yep. So one way to connect with us I'll say two. The simple way is if you just Google Esports Long Island, we pop up everywhere. So you can just Google Esports Long Island. And if you're not able to do that, it's all our social media is at LI Gaming League. So LI Gaming League is our social media. You can find us right there.
Amazing. Well, everyone in the area or those looking in Long Island, come check it out. There's definitely a lot of really exciting stuff. And I know that, you know, communities are very disjointed, but being able to bring people together is really exciting. So make sure everyone, you know, check them out and give them a follow. And thanks everybody again for tuning in, and make sure to follow me on Twitter, JustinJESQ, and check Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube for all our past episodes.